What up, though, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Upside. I'm your host, Keenan Rivals, bringing you sports cards news every day. There's been a lot of chatter going on about modern cards, so we're definitely going to dive into that. You guys know I'm pretty bullish on modern cards, but if you don't, then I'm assuming this is your first time here. And if that's the case, definitely do me a favor. Shoot me a follow on Twitter. It means a lot to me. It helps the channel. And I just love engaging with you guys. I've been going super crazy on Twitter. You can see it's just nonstop tweets, like nonstop. I mean, I've been in my bag lately. So if you guys haven't, definitely do me a favor and follow me over there. And of course, follow me on Instagram. If you're not on Instagram, you're like not on the internet, right? So I need you guys to tap in with me, engage with me over there. I think for the next month or so, I'm really going to focus on growing this channel, pushing it out to new audiences. So that's going to be a big factor of mine. So I definitely want you guys to tap in because I like talking to you. One of the things that I've noticed is that I talk about sports cards every day, but I'm not building a lot of sports card connections. And that's the next step, you know, building the channel and building some connections. So if you want to connect, tap in, DM me, let's talk. Maybe I can even bring you in a podcast. Let's just have fun with what we have right now. Before we get into today's show, I do want to talk about my Top Shot newsletter that I sent out yesterday. I don't know how many of you know this, but I do have a separate newsletter for Top Shot. I know a lot of you are signed up for the sports cards newsletter, but the Top Shot newsletter is definitely a gem. If you would have got this newsletter yesterday, if you would have followed these plays, you would definitely be up in profits right now. I talked about moments in which ones I'm looking at. And I gave you like a really in-depth analysis of, you know, why I'm looking at these moments. So definitely check that out. I'll leave the link to the Top Shot newsletter down below. It is a premium newsletter. However, this particular article is open to the public, you know, kind of as a preview, kind of get you warmed up to see, you know, what you'll be getting once you kind of get into that subscription. So yeah, if you're in a Top Shot, if you're into, you know, digital moments, NFTs and collectibles, then we're going to be talking about it a lot. Jumping into the show, we got some NBA news. The Athletic, they have this really sick art graphic. Ever since I got into NFTs, everything's art now. And they're talking about their top 10 NBA teams based on young star potential. Now, I went through this list. I don't know if I agree with everything because some of these players just don't have potential to me. And the number one pick shocked me. But, you know, I'll leave that up to you guys to be the judge. You know, at number 10, they had the Utah Jazz. You know, Donovan Mitchell obviously kind of leading that team. And then everybody else is just not really that important to me. So, you know, that says a lot about the league and their future. At number 9, they had Oklahoma City, which makes a lot more sense. Their whole roster is pretty under 25, and they got some good guys over there. Followed by the Suns, the Charlotte Hornets, and, you know, if you guys want to know the whole, you know, list, you know, I'll leave the link down below as I always do. But, you know, what excited me was, you know, the top 3. I was thinking I was going to see Denver. They weren't even in the top 10, which really shocked me. I guess they only have Bobo, MPJ, and RJ Hampton, though, so I guess it makes sense. And Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics, obviously, you know, up there. And then number 2 team, which I thought would be number 1, was the Atlanta Hawks. So I'm like, who's number 1? Like, who could it be? You know, it's not Denver. It's not the Hawks. And it was the Dallas Mavericks. So that was super, super weird to me. I guess Luka just has that much potential in the eyes of the Athletic that they're the top team in terms of potential for players under 25. You guys know I'm rocking with the Hawks, though. I mean, their whole starting five is under 25. They're looking to be a potential playoff threat. They're definitely going to probably do some trades this year. So they got too many guys crossing positions. But, yeah, figured I would share this with you guys, you know, for those of you who wanted to, you know, get some in-depth analysis on, you know, what the Athletic thinks about the future of the league, because that can kind of help you decide who you might want to invest in. So, yeah, definitely check this out. Links will be in the description for all these articles as normal. Moving on to their next article that kind of stood out to me, and it was about Trae Young. Really bringing this up because I was having a debate, you know, with somebody about this in Discord a few weeks ago. You know, they just didn't like how Trae Young was playing. If you guys watch Atlanta Hawks basketball, you'll know that though Trae Young is an elite shooter, though he's an elite ball handler, he's really been effective at drawing fouls the last few games. And a lot of people, you know, don't like the way that he's doing it. I'm a pure basketball fan. I think it's a high IQ move. You know, I think he's using his speed and his shooting ability to his advantage, but a lot of people just aren't happy with how he's, you know, you kind of see how he's coming off the board. He's just pushing it down. He doesn't care if he scores. He's just any contact, he just goes up with it. And he's drawing fouls, you know what I mean? And he's doing this pretty much every game and pretty often. And the defense just doesn't know what to do. I think that's high IQ basketball. but a lot of people don't like it. So yeah, I'm bringing this up because the debate was kind of like, you know, if Trae Young keeps doing this, then, you know, he may not be a fan favorite anymore. He may not be exciting to watch. So I want to know what you guys think about this. I have some pretty, you know, nice Trae Young cards. I'm a big Trae Young fan. He is getting some questionable press. You know, I've noticed that over the past few weeks. And, you know, him drawing these fouls in this manner, I think Steve Nash commented on it, and that kind of broke his confidence earlier in the season. And now we're seeing a lot of the media run with it. So let me know what you think about Trae Young and his foul drawing, and if you think it's a win or if you think it's kind of trash, because I need to know. I need to know what the public thinks, because I feel like I made some good points in my debate. Since we're talking about Trae Young, you know, I want to look at modern cards. I've been looking at a lot of people's YouTube channels. There's a lot of basketball sports cards podcasts out there, again, trying to build those connections, trying to figure out, you know, who I should be tapping in with. And I feel like a lot of the conversation over the last week or so from the, you know, what I gather has been pushing towards modern. You know, we had that vintage run. I think that run is still very much alive, but, you know, it was kind of just passing money from one player to another. You know, you go from one legend to another legend, and then eventually you're kind of out of legends. You know, I think the goal here is to get the prices of the legends up, because they were just drastically underrated compared to the modern guys. But now that the prices of the legends are up, you know, you got to look at the modern guys and see if they're underrated. You know, for example, if LeBron James's Topps Chrome is $40,000, then maybe a Prism rookie of Jason Tatum for, you know, $600-700 doesn't seem that bad anymore, especially if his potential is, you know, $40,000. You know, obviously Tatum's not going to be as great as LeBron, but you guys know what I mean. So I'm looking at this NBA Emerging 30 Index on Star Stock, and it's kind of what I tend to look at to kind of view the market. If you look here, the market's taking a huge dip, but, you know, it's still higher highs. You know, coming from November, December, we're a long way away from this price point. We're kind of at that December 21st price point right now. And, you know, I feel like next week when this gets updated, I'm assuming there's going to be a little uptick, because I've just been seeing a lot of buying, you know, opportunities and a lot of positive news for modern cards. I was looking at Upside Auctions yesterday, a newsletter that I send out to tell you guys about plays that I like. And, you know, I noticed that Lucas, you know, Select, his PSA 10, it's still going for a healthy price point, $6,425. You know, collectors are all in on these. Those aren't taking any dips. I was checking out Donovan Mitchell's card. This is the Select Blue that I'm very bullish on, and I'll tell you guys why in a second. But that one ended for $830. I think it's a little underrated. Donovan Mitchell's doing his thing out there, and I think these Select cards should be higher. But that's still a pretty solid price point. You know, that's not like a huge dip. It's not like people are giving up on modern. The cards aren't flying for steals, though. Again, I think this is a good buy. I talked about this one actually in Morning Bins, another newsletter that I sent out. Talked about the Prism, I'm sorry, the Select Blue, as well as the Select Red. Colored cards, you know, are going to be a play, in my opinion, as we move towards this next wave for modern. I'm all in, you know, for you guys who have the base cards, who own a lot of base cards, but I feel like the serial number cards are the way to go moving forward. We got to get into the rare stuff. And I think that's something that we talked about really early in the channel, how serial number cards were the play. And now we're starting to see that play out. I feel like, you know, there's no reason why this Select Silver should be, you know, worth more than the blue, or, same thing with Luka. His Select Silver shouldn't be worth more than like the premier blue die cut. So I think we'll see a lot of these Select cards, especially these color parallels, move up in price, you know, very similar to Prism. If you look at Luka's Prism, you know, his color Prism goes for way more. Actually, I think I have a chart right here. His color Prism goes for way more than, you know, his Prism Silver. They got the Prism Red PSA 10, number to 299, going for $15,077. And then we had his Prism PSA 10 Silver going for $7,421. So I think we'll see that same thing in Select, where these colored parallels are a little more valuable. But yeah, it's not like they're tanking. It's not like they're doing awful. You know, modern is still very, very much a play. Another thing that I've been seeing, and we've been kind of talking about in Discord, is Zion Williamson. He was one of the guys that I really thought people should be buying earlier in the season when he was dirt cheap. But if you look at Zion, like, he's been putting on a tear in the NBA. And if you look at his completed listings, like just PSA 10 Zion, you're just going to see, like, these are just the bins. There's just so many bins being hit just left and right. Like, just, I mean, he has a few pages. This is just all just from this morning. So, you know, that's from midnight to now, when you kind of move into yesterday. This is just a nice hefty amount of auctions being snatched up. So a lot of you know, cards being sold here for Zion. And I don't know what you're thinking, like maybe that's not much. I was doing the comparison to Ja Morant, and you know, it doesn't take us long before we're just like, Ja Morant hasn't, one card hasn't sold today of his. You know, it doesn't take us long before we get to yesterday, or you know, into the day before. So you know, we're already at the 16th. So the fact that Zion has pages, you know, of his cards being sold, just again shows me that people are starting to look towards the modern market. Zion's doing well, so you know, his cards should go up. And that's kind of why I've been, you know, talking about his select silver a lot, because he has been doing well. And you see, you know, we called it here at this like dip of like $900, $1,000, and boom, right back up, you know, right back to that 1500 mark. Very, very rare card, great opportunity to make some money. So hopefully somebody from this community was able to snag it at these price points, because now you're up, you know, 30%. So yeah, definitely looking into these. Another play here could be, you know, looking at the select nine in the base. You know, one thing I always do is I always feel like the select silver nine should always be more than the base rookie. And in this case, you see that it is. The base Zion is 345. The select silver is 365. Like it's more, but that gap should be a lot higher. You know, if you look at some of the more prominent players like Luka, for example, if you look at his select PSA silver nine, it's going for about 30% higher than his base select PSA 10. So we got the base select PSA 10 going for $1,026. And his select silver PSA 9 is going for $1,445. So, you know, I'm always kind of comparing these cards to see, you know, what's what. That this is pretty consistent with just about every player that I've looked into. The silver PSA 9 always goes more for the base PSA 10. And it makes sense. Like if somebody, if you had a LeBron James Topps Chrome, and then somebody said, hey, I'll trade you my silver Topps Chrome 9 for your PSA 10. It might be something that you would consider. You know, I'm sure you would have to add in some cash to make that deal go through. So, you know, no different here with the select or the more modern rookies. So yeah, look at those, you know, arbitrage, you know, opportunities, try to make some money that way. You know, you can make a lot of your money, you know, investing in players that have, you know, great performance and great potential, but you can also just take some time, sit down, grab the market cap method and start digging into these things and finding just some opportunities based on pure fundamentals. Like fundamentally, This Zion PSA 9 silver is a good opportunity, you know, if the PSA 10 base is going for just $20 cheaper. This should easily be a $400+ card. So yeah, let me know what you guys think about that. I think that's something we talked about earlier in the podcast, but I know a lot of you are new here, so definitely wanted to bring it back for you guys. Moving on to one of my favorite cards, Stephen Curry's 2009-2010 Bowman is up for auction, has 3 days left. I've been watching this one like a hawk. There's just no like real value for Stephen Curry's cards. They're just like undecided. We just got the value on the Topps rookie. We're starting to see a few of those PSA 10s come through and its value really, really high. But we've not seen a Bowman PSA 10 auction in quite some time. I remember one morning I bought this card for like $457. And I think a month or 2 months later, I listed it for $2,500 just on a whim. And then somebody bought it. I remember like that was very early in my investing career. I was like freaking out. I was like, oh my God, I just, you know, it was a big moment for me. And to see this car hit $5,000 now, it's just like, man, you know, we've come a long way. You know what I mean? But yeah, I really do like this card. And depending on where it ends at, it could be a good value for somebody. You know, I look at LeBron James's Bowman and it's going for $7,500. And, you know, Stephen Curry tends to sell for, you know, more than LeBron James pretty much every time. So I feel like that's going to be the base value for me for Stephen Curry's Bowman. And if you kind of look at the top situation, we got Curry's tops going for $18,000 and we got LeBron's tops going for $12,000. So, you know, LeBron's Bowman's a little more than half of the value of the tops. And if we apply that same math to Stephen Curry's, then, you know, we can assume like $9,000-$10,000 would be a fair price for that Bowman. You factor in that the Bowman's a lot more limited. You factor in that it's serial number 2009. Maybe you get 10, 12 out of it. You know, that's kind of how I evaluate my plays. If this ended at 12, you know, $10,000, $12,000, that would just be absolutely insane, because I know a lot of people from our community got in when they were like $1,500. So hopefully you guys are still holding. Hopefully this isn't, you know, one of your auctions, because I believe this card just has the potential to be all time. You know, I've said it in the market cap method. If you pick that up, I said Stephen Curry's card could be the mantle of basketball just because there's just not that many of them. Like there's just not that many in circulation. I'm a proud owner of this card, so I want to make that very clear. I do have the BGS 10, I don't have a PSA copy. I wish I did. I tried to buy one before they ran up, but they were just impossible to find. So yeah, keep a lookout on this auction. I think it's going to be important. I think it can really set the tone for the Stephen Curry market. And if this one goes above, you know, $10,000, then some of those other Stephen Curry cards are going to be a real play. So we'll be watching out for this and, you know, reporting that and keeping you guys updated. What else do we have here? What else? Zach LaVine. So we was talking about Zach LaVine yesterday. I'm from Detroit, and Zach LaVine just dominated the Pistons yesterday. I don't, if you watched that game, I know you didn't watch that game, because who's watching that game? You have to be like from Chicago, but it was just amazing. Like Zach can fly that hoop, man. He got some fight in him. He put some weight on, you know, so he's a lot stronger out there. There's not a lot of players that can do what he can do. You know, he has the jump shot. He has the athleticism. You know, yes, his defense is lacking. Yes, his leadership is lacking, but he can flat out score. And, you know, when I look at him, and I compare him to like a Jaylen Brown in terms of his role, I think Zach LaVine's going to be traded to a contender. I don't know where, but I just don't see him staying in Chicago. And I think that could be a nice little opportunity for us, you know, as investors. If you're a Zach LaVine fan, I think that if he goes to Milwaukee or to Golden State, or I don't know where he would go. You know, as long as he doesn't go to like San Antonio or Toronto, I think that, you know, Zach LaVine's cards could go up. And, you know, one thing I'm starting to look at is pop reports. I think it's super important. He only has 189 Prism PSA 10 rookies. I know we're not too fancy on Prism, but I do believe some of the older stuff is still going to hold its value. And yeah, right now those are going for about $480. And I just feel like it's a little underpriced. You know, we got Jaylen Brown, who's an all-star, who's playing amazing right now. He's going for like $560, you know, $600. I kind of feel like Zach should be up there. I know Jaylen Brown's a two-way player. I know he's a nice talent, but Zach is one of the only shooting guards, you know, that is playing the shooting guard role. You know, so many teams are dominated by the point guard now, the small forward. Zach's still out here just being a shooting guard, hitting buzzer beaters, making clutch shots, like very, very Mamba-ish. You know, I'm not saying that in a disrespectful way, but he's doing his thing. So I like Zach LaVine. So I wanted today's episode to be more about, like, you know, some potential plays for you guys. So, you know, a player like Zach LaVine is somebody that I'm looking at. Maybe you don't buy the Prism. Maybe you dabble in the Select. Maybe you get the Select Silver, because those are plays as well. But yeah, monitoring Zach LaVine's prices, monitoring his potentials, trade areas. And if I feel like he's going to go to a contender, like if he goes to Philadelphia or something like that, I'm buying some Zach LaVine rookies. So let me know what you guys think about that. Do you think, you know, Zach LaVine's a solid player, or do you think he's just a scorer who's on a bad team? All right, what else do we have here? Last but not least, our final play for the day. Hopefully you guys like these plays. It's really hard finding all these plays in the morning, trust me. So hopefully you guys like some of them. And let me know what you think about this episode compared to other ones. Do you like me talking about the plays, or do you like me just going over the market? But yeah, anyway, moving on to our final play. You guys have seen this one many times. I still think it's a buy. That's going to be Kevin Durant's tops. You can get it in the PSA 8. You can get it in the PSA 9, PSA 10. A lot of people have been reaching out to me like, hey, man, I would love if you had some cheaper, you know, cards on your channel. And, you know, cards just aren't cheap anymore. This is about as cheap as it comes. If you want a cheap card, you're going to have to, you know, get over your ego. You're going to have to grab that PSA 8. If you follow me on Twitter, you know, I kind of have this thing like normalized PSA 8. I'm a big PSA 8 fan. Big PSA 8.5 fan. I think those cards are going to be just as valuable as PSA 10s get bought up by fractional ownerships. PSA 9 kind of become the norm for the average investor. And then PSA 8, you know, is going to be, you know, a good opportunity for some of us. So if you look at, you know, Stephen Curry's cards or LeBron James's Topps cards and their PSA 8s, you can see they're selling for a pretty good price point. And Kevin Durant is just under the radar, you know, very limited, very cheap compared to those guys. And I think as we kind of get a healthier Brooklyn team, as we start seeing them, like, you know, become the contender we know they can be, then these will kind of shoot up in value, you know. And you know, even if they don't, I think Stephen Curry's hype alone is going to push all these other cards up. You know, everything that's not Panini is moving up. It's shooting up in value. Collectors are trying to get a hold of it. And I think this is an opportunity for some of us to get in here and pick up these cards, because they're drying up and there's just not that many of them out there. A ton of people bought these at like $175, $200. So we see them taking profits right now. And in my opinion, that's just going to set the floor for the card at about $375, $400. And then from there, I can see it hitting $600, $700. So yeah, again, just want to make a disclaimer. I definitely have a nice little stash of these, as you can see here. And I'm still buying them. I bought a PSA 9 yesterday. I'm not buying these cards with you guys. You know, here's a good example of what I'm talking about. You know, which card has the higher upside? This is why you got to follow me on Instagram. You know, is it going to be the PSA 8 Stephen Curry that goes for $1,300? Or, you know, are you going to buy the Durant when at the time of posting this, it was selling for $300? So, you know, I'm not saying Durant's going to hit that $1,300 price point. But again, I could see it becoming a $600-$700 card. And that's a solid 2X, you know, in a pretty safe investment. So not many times you can 2X on a safe investment. So, yeah, still loving that Kevin Durant play. Still think he's a buy. And I think the PSA 9 solid as well. This $991 price point, that was your boy. I bought that. These are trending at one point at around, you know, $1,100. And I think they'll get back up to there. And again, wouldn't be surprised if this card hit $2,000, $2,500. So a nice solid 2X. So we'll definitely keep some tabs on this and, you know, kind of see how that plays out for us. Now, before we get out of here, I do want to give a shout out to the Card Ladder. They are not a sponsor of the show, but it's the tool that I use to kind of look at this data. They did hook me up with an affiliate link. So if you guys have not signed up for Card Ladder, definitely check it out. If you sign up using that affiliate link, it does help the show. And I would greatly appreciate that. Not to mention, it's just an amazing tool for you being able to have this data, being able to check this out. It's just so easy. I used to do this manually. I used to have to look up all of this stuff. I used to be up nights to like 4 or 5 in the morning doing this. And now I could just wake up, check Card Ladder and kind of get all that data. So definitely check that link out down below, sign up for Card Ladder and start learning, guys. You know, I think that's the most important thing. You know, we're buying a lot of the same cards, but it's also important to learn. It's important to learn why cards are moving up. It's important to get this information because you want to be first. You don't want to be buying cards second or third. Again, these cards at one point in time were super, super low, $600-$700. There's no reason why we shouldn't have been buying those then. You know, so if we work together, we can find these plays together. And that's kind of, I'm not going to find every play, at least not in a timely manner. You know, it's impossible. It's too many cards out here. So if you haven't already, pick up the Market Cap Method, start educating, help me find these plays, go sign up for Card Ladder and just have fun. That's going to be it for this one, guys. Check out thehighupsideshow.com to sign up for the newsletter if you want these type of plays in your inbox every day. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Happy investing.